Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to be here with you again. Before I start, I'd like to pray for this message, that it would be receptive to all that hear it, and that the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. I pray that we would be willing to be submissive to you, God, in all the storms we are struggling with. I pray that if there is anyone here that is struggling in any circumstance, that you would give them your peace and that you would see them through their difficult situation. We thank you, Father, for the miracles we have seen, for healing, and praise your name for them. We also thank you for bringing everybody here this evening, and pray for those who are unwell, that they would receive your healing in their lives. It's easy to let the weight of this world be a burden to us, Lord, but you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Help us to put our trust and faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I came across this poem and thought it would be appropriate for the message I'm about to give. It's called Don't Quit, and it's by Edgar Albert Guest. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. The title for the sermon I'm about to give tonight is entitled Trusting God Through the Storms. The crises of life have often been compared to stormy seas. They come upon us whether we like them or not. They terrify us. They knock us around and threaten to destroy all of our stability and security. We don't know whether we can survive them, and we don't know how long they will last. At least that's how a storm at sea would be for most of us. In the midst of every storm, there are moments of calm and peace. God has given us dominion over all circumstances our fear has created for us. However, in many cases, the devil does not want to release us from their custody. But the Bible says that there is nothing too difficult for God to handle. What are your own storms of life? Whatever it may be, the power of God shall remove them from your life in Jesus' name. In the Bible, Noah found favor before God, but he later planted a vineyard that produced wine, and he got drunk and fell out with God. Drinking was his storm. The Bible also tells us of the story of Joseph, who had serious problems with his brothers. His brothers dealt with him in a bad way, hence he was put in prison. However, it was from the prison that he got to the throne. Every storm has a reason. The reason could be divine or satanic. The story of Job was another case study that faced a big storm. And Job was a blameless and upright man, always careful to avoid doing evil. At a point, God allows Satan to torment Job to test his faith, but he forbids Satan to take Job's life in the process. In Genesis 21, verse 1 to 23 and verse 20, the Bible makes us to understand that Abraham certainly faced storms in his life. A storm big enough to force a man to divorce his wife and make the home suffer. He faced life full of struggles, lack and famine. But when God stepped into his marriage, it starts with a wonderful moment of calm in the midst of these storms. The Lord was gracious to Sarah and did for Sarah what he had promised. In addition, they had had to wait a long time, but eventually God's promise was fulfilled. During the waiting period, the challenge is to keep on trusting God. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. It was a moment of great joy. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." All throughout history, God's people have encountered storms. What is a storm, you might ask? A storm is a violent disturbance of the atmosphere with strong winds and usually rain, thunder, lightning, or snow. Spiritually, a storm represents a season of obstacles, difficulties, setbacks, poverty, struggle, a trial moment, etc. To calm a storm of life means to resolve, overcome, to take authority, to maintain a peaceful moment. The good news, however, is among those that pass through storms in the Bible, like David, Jonah, Paul, Daniel, and Hannah, for example, they all came out restored. This means that whatever you are facing in life, Jesus Christ has taken control over it for your supernatural breakthrough and transformation. No matter how powerful the situation, the power of God is enough to deal with it permanently and to rise no more. As we are in the new year now, 2022, I'd like for us to read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and to apply it to the storm we find ourselves in today. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You're probably thinking to yourself, what does Mark chapter 4 have to do with the new year? Well, your question would be appropriate. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, it talks about a storm. And we are in a storm, aren't we? We have this virus, the coronavirus, that has been a storm, and it keeps changing. The weather keeps getting worse in this storm. It has affected the global economy, the supply chain, people's mental health, employment, and our old way of life. We've been in a bad storm for almost the last 2 years. Who would have thought? The disciples were also in a storm in Mark chapter 4, but they were in a storm while simultaneously being in the will of God. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we read, On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." When Jesus told them, "Let's go across to the other side," he was saying indirectly to them, "We're going to make it to the other side." We have to be careful that we don't let the problems that arise cloud Jesus' promises to us. Because if we let the problem cloud over the promise, we will lose sight of the promise because we are too fixated on the problem. And it will then dominate you. God never wants your circumstance to trump his word. He doesn't want our circumstance to trump his presence because he's on the boat too. If we let our circumstances scare us, we're letting the wrong things scare us. When you know whom you are dealing with, you'll be less afraid. It is more important to, by faith, get Jesus dealing with the circumstance than by you living in fear. It's easy to get scared of the wrong thing. They were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, and they still ran into a storm. Just because you're in the will of God, it doesn't mean that you won't have difficulties and negative circumstances. I'd love to tell you that things will be easy and smooth sailing, being in God's will, but that's oftentimes not the case. Regardless, they were in a storm doing the will of God, and we've now just crossed over into a new year, 2022, and we're crossing over in a storm as well. And when the storm began to rage in Mark chapter 4, there was not only the external storm where the waves were crashing against the side of the boat, causing it to fill with water. Many of the disciples were professional fishermen who were familiar with storms, the wind, the waves. So if they're scared, you know that this is a major storm. And they were scared to death. But there was also an emotional storm, because in verse 38 it says, "And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Some of the lessons in the story are obvious. Jesus has the power over storms of life, experiences them alongside us, loves us, saves us from them, and wants us to trust him more than we do. Let's look at a lesson that might not be so obvious. Storms don't worry Jesus. He's right there with us during them. But he's perfectly calm about them. He isn't terrified. He isn't impatient. He isn't worried. Psalm 44, 23-24. "Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" The disciples were obviously very afraid that they felt the need to wake him and ask for his help. And right now, with all that is going on in the world, it can be scary in our humanity. It's easy at times to feel like the waves of this world are crashing against our vessels. We obviously put our faith and trust in God, but we still can get scared, maybe even terrified, when we hear about tragedies, we hear about people getting sick, loss of life, people getting fired from their jobs for not getting vaccinated. The list goes on and on. So there is an emotional storm. But do you know what the worst possible storm there is that is spoken about in this passage? It's a spiritual storm. In verse 38, it says, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" And when you're in a storm, and if you were to be completely honest, sometimes it feels like God doesn't care. And you might think to yourself, why would God allow me to go through this when he told me to go into the boat and go to the other side? So there, The disciples are going through it. I'm going through it. We are going through it. We are in a storm. In verse 38, it says, Jesus was asleep on a cushion. That's a pillow. That meant that he deliberately fell asleep. Whenever you fall asleep on a pillow and you got it feeling just the way you like it, that means you're not sleeping by chance. You're sleeping on purpose. He went to sleep on purpose. And sometimes it feels like you're dialing heaven, but the line is busy, and I think we all know the feeling. It feels like God has gone on vacation and has left us to fend for ourselves. Sometimes it feels like finally things are getting better, and then here we go again, another variant. And now again, it looks and feels like God's asleep, and we're left to fend for ourselves. The scripture says, and then they aroused him and said, don't you care? Don't you see our fear and pain? Don't you see the struggle we're facing right now, and you say nothing? In fact, you're sleeping, and we're here bailing out the water. And then Jesus said, why are you so timid? That's almost like asking a swimmer who just came out of the water, why are you so wet? They likely thought to themselves, isn't it obvious, Jesus, what we're going through? We're trying to cross over to the other side, and we're in trouble. We're crossing over from 2021 to 2022, and we are in trouble. Then Jesus looked at nature and said, peace be still. Jesus looked at nature and then looked at the circumstances and said, peace be still. God doesn't do miracles just to show off. He does the supernatural so that his name will be known and glorified. And he gets our attention. And we say, who in the world is this that he heard my prayer and has come to help me? When you are in the will of God, you are in the safest place to be, even when you're in the midst of a storm. If they only would have remembered what Jesus said. What did he say? He said to them, let us go to the other side. He didn't say to them, let us go halfway and drown. He said, gentlemen, we are going to make it, but we're going to have some trials as we try to make it, and I'm going to sleep. I suggest you go get your pillow too and go to sleep with me. In other words, he calls the timid because they forgot his word because of how big their circumstance was. I'm not undermining the circumstances or the storm we're facing today. I'm not saying this isn't serious. I'm not saying we shouldn't be cautious. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be deliberate in what we do and the decisions we make. I am saying, if you are living your life in the will of God, then this is the opportunity to see God at a whole other level. This storm we are in, not only the medical one, anyone that's affecting you right now, is an opportunity to see the God of nature. Storms are meant to increase your faith and give you a deeper experience with God. Storms aren't pleasant. They're not comfortable. And sometimes they can be life-threatening, but they always come with a purpose. Nature is going crazy right now, just like that storm was going crazy as they were trying to cross the Sea of Galilee. To see God rule and overrule our circumstances is to see God in the midst of it. When Jesus was lying on the boat, he was getting wet from the waves splashing. It was a bad weather situation, but he was still in charge. He is in charge of COVID. He is in charge. And since God's in charge, we better get his undivided attention. This is what COVID and any other major storm you're going through is all about. This isn't just about a virus. It's about God getting our undivided attention on every level. He who has ears, let him hear. Matthew 11:15. Doctors haven't been able to fix it. Government officials haven't been able to fix it. And the Center for Disease Control hasn't been able to fix it. That's because God is talking and he is screaming, "Folks, you better give me your undivided attention." The passage concludes with this phrase. They were very much afraid when they said, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, they were afraid of the storm, but they were super afraid of who Jesus was. You know, sometimes we're afraid of the wrong things. We should be fearing God more than fearing our circumstances. But the circumstances feel so near to us, and we're affected physically by it. It's easy to stop fearing God at times and fear our circumstances. I'm going to ask you to join me, and I'm going to join you, and we're going to fear God together. We need to be wise in our circumstances, but we need to believe that if we fear God who controls nature, which means he controls viruses, that he can speak the word and he can change the trajectory of the situation. Do you know what our problem is? We're either not in God's will or we're not approaching our storms the right way. Let's get in God's will, which means we hear God's word and obey God's word, and let us go to the other side. So guess what? We've crossed from 2021 to 2022, and we're doing it in a storm. But guess what? We're going to put our faith and trust in God, and we're going to say, "God, I know there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty with COVID. There's rumors of war with Ukraine and Russia that may lead to other countries in the world, including Canada, into the conflict. But you are our Lord, and you are our God. You are our covering, and we're not going to lean on our own understanding." Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. "In all my ways, I will acknowledge you, and you will direct my paths." We're going to fix our eyes on you during this storm. We're going to trust you during this financial crisis. We're going to trust you in our relationships or whatever our storm is. And we're going to trust you, and we're going to rest in your truth. This is why we need to listen to the Word of God, read the Word of God, and meditate and pray on the Word of God, and respond to the Word of God, and not be so timid. Yes, we have to be human to a point, but not to a fault, because God is in the equation. We need to trust God now to help us cross over in this storm. We need to believe that God has a will. He has a plan, and if he let the virus mutate, he's up to something bigger than what meets our human eye. God's up to something, and he's up to something worldwide. If there is any reason to believe God and his word, it is now. Because the Bible says in the end times, the enemy will have a worldwide plan. And God's letting us know he can control a worldwide plan. So we need to be talking to a worldwide God. We need to draw close to God. We need to talk to family and friends, coworkers, people on the street, pray together, pray for one another as we cross over. Pray, trust, and believe that God will deliver you from the storms you're going through, and sympathize with others and pray with them also for deliverance. We need to talk to one another and encourage one another. The boat looks like it's filling up. It looks as if we're going to drown. We're not going to drown if we're in the will of God. He's going to take us to the other side, whatever that means in our lives, whatever it means crossing over into this new year. We're going to make it with God's help. Either Christ is going to take us up out of here, or he's going to show us his will by taking us through trials here on earth as we cross this wilderness into blessing. Either way, we've gotten through the storm. We need to believe in God that he'll take us to victory, whatever that is in our lives. Maybe that's why Mark included this story in his gospel. The not-so-obvious lesson is that Jesus was just as much in control and the disciples were just as safe in his hands while he was asleep as while he was awake. Most of the time, life seems like a relentless voyage from one storm to the next. At least it does for me, and I expect it's the same for you. One thing I have learned about myself is that during the storms, I'm usually a scared rabbit, just like Jesus' disciples were. But I'm also learning that I can take heart in knowing that Jesus isn't scared and he isn't depressed. He might be asleep or he might not be, but either way, like the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. Even if he doesn't wake up and quiet the storm, he's probably going to say, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And I can live with that. There was a little boy on an airplane with his grandma, and the airplane hit turbulence. The grandma was fearful, hanging onto the armrests of her seat for dear life. And she looked over at her grandson, and he was playing with a toy car. He wasn't worried or startled, just full of laughter. And the grandma got irritated and frustrated at the boy and said to him, "How can you play at a time like this when things are so bad?" He looked over at his grandma and said, "Grandma, I think you're forgetting who's in control of the airplane. Your son, my daddy, he's the pilot. When you know who's the pilot, who's in the cockpit controlling the plane, when you know who is in total control, you can be calm even when the bumps are giving you discomfort. God is in charge of every aspect of our lives, even when we don't feel his presence or don't think he's there. He is in the cockpit, so put on your seatbelt and be responsible, but smile and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Give him praise as we ask for the virus and storms in our lives to end, but remember that he's in charge, and may God give you a blessed 2022 as you serve."